The late reading tonight is Psalm 107. A few of these hymns that were sung tonight, suffering tenderly, and then that last one, not have I got them, but what I received took me back quite a long time. If I will remember, Jim Wardle's shooting break. Remember that? A big Vauxhall shooting break. And I'll tell you, if you got there and back again, you know what I mean when I say it's your lucky day. Because this buggy, this shooting break, broke down on countless occasions. Really, I don't know where he got it or whatever, but we used to have an open air on a Friday night. And Willie McEwen, he was a singer. And he sung two of these hymns, Not Have I Got In and Softly and Tenderly. And these were good days and we were happy days as we sought to spread the gospel in Fife. Now, Psalm 107, and look at verse 8. Well, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, verse 15. Well, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And look at verse 27. Well, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then look at verse 31. Well, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So four times over in this psalm we've read concerning God's goodness. You know, in this psalm there are four different kinds of people in different circumstances. And four times over again we read that they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. The first kind of people we read about are those who are lost in the desert. The second lot of people we read about are those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. The third lot of people are classed as fools because of their behaviour. They draw near unto death. And the fourth kind of people that we read of in the psalm are those who are caught up in a storm. Now that really would sum up life now, doesn't it? When we think about it, those who are lost, those who are held in bondage, those who by overindulgence, especially with drink and drugs, draw near to the gates of death. Sometimes life is like a storm. But again, on each occasion, and these four different kinds of people, it says that they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 4 tells us that they wandered in a wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted in them. They were lost, and they were at the end of their tether, and they couldn't help themselves. You know, when we go back to Luke's Gospel chapter 15, we read of a young man just like that. Remember him? He left his father's house and went into the far country and wished his substance with riotous living. Give me, he prayed, the foolish, woeful boy. He thought that but to have was to enjoy. A broken, sober man, robbed, hungry, bare. Nightly he prayed, and chose a wiser prayer. Remember, he was so hungry that he would have eaten the pig's food. Then he realised what a fool he had been, and he repented, and he was restored again to his father. I don't know who wrote the hymn, I've wandered far away from God, but I think they would be speaking from experience. I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home, the paths of sin too long I've trod, Lord, I'm coming home. Again, as we look at the book of Proverbs twice over, we read that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And maybe, friend, tonight you think that you are on a pathway that seems right to you in regards to your soul salvation. Just let me say kindly to you, if it's not by the way of the cross, then you are still lost. You are still on the wrong path in your life. A way that seemed right unto a man, but the end thereof was the way of death. Now if we go into First Samuel chapter 15, we read concerning King Saul. Remember, Samuel told him by God's command to slay everything that belonged to the Amalekites. Everything. Men, women, children, the lot, all the animals and the cattle. But it says that Saul spared the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. And again, remember when Samuel appeared, Samuel told him, because he had rejected the word of the Lord had rejected him from being. He thought it was the right way, a way that seemed right to him, to spare the best of everything, to offer possible sacrifices. But God has said that everything was to be destroyed. And sadly, because Saul thought it was right to spare the best of the sheep and oxen and cattle and so on, he came under God's judgment. Now again in our Bibles we read concerning a broad way and a narrow way. And looking at these ways, it would seem that the broad way was right because it had most people on it. But you know, when we listen to the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 17, he says, "This enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the way and broad is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Because the broad way has most people on it, sadly, is leading to a lost eternity. But tonight, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you will move on to this narrow way that leadeth to heaven and to home. You know, what does the Lord Jesus say in John chapter 14, verse 6? He says, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Not just the way that seems right, but the way that is right with God. Someone has said the promises of God are based on his power, that is, in his ability to fulfill them. The warnings of God are based upon his holiness, but his mercy is always available to complement them. It is his mercy that we are solely dependent upon today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, remember the apostle says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You know, sometimes in life we only see human difficulty and we are blind to divine sufficiency. And maybe you think that way concerning your soul salvation. Remember, if you feel you're lost and bound for a lost eternity, remember this, there is a divine sufficiency available to you. And you can come into the good of that tonight by repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 51, David writes about mercy, and he writes about mercies. And we understand that mercy means the gracious favour of a superior to an inferior, all deserved. But mercies involves love, compassion and pity. And you know, you can come into the good of both these tonight, God's mercy and God's mercy again, by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because again, the Lord Jesus himself says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture." Again, if you feel that life has no meaning or purpose, if you feel you are lost, then if you cry to the Lord in your distress, then he will save you. Notice verse 7 says, "He led them forth by the right way." The hymn writer again would say, "I must needs go home," and it's also true, "I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss." And again, it goes on to say, "It is sweet to know, as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home." And so again tonight, remember, again, no matter how great is your need, the grace of God is greater. Someone has said, "Come now to the fountain of cleansing, plunge deep in its life-giving flow. His mercy and grace are sufficient. His pardon he longs to bestow." And so, and again, has said, "In the desert of grief, God provides the oasis of peace." And again, you can have that tonight by repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So there was and is a way for those that are lost. The second kind of people we read about in our psalm are those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. And we find the reason. And it says there, because they rebelled against the words of God. That was the reason for them being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the word of God. Again, as we think of our prisons, they're bursting at the seams now, aren't they? with all different kinds of prisoners in jail for a variety of reasons. Some are kept in maximum security because of dangerous men and women. Some are kept in solitary confinement for their own safety. But everyone in the prison tonight, in one way or another, they have broken the law of the land. You know, John chapter 3 verse 6:17 says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we love to quote John chapter 3 and verse 16 now, don't we? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And again, we love to sing that he did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, it was to save. He came. I wonder then tonight, now, do you know him as your own and personal saviour? You know that John tells us that the Father sent the Son to be the saviour of the world, not that everybody will be saved. But such is the sufficiency of the work of Christ there upon Golgotha. Every person who puts their faith and trust in him will be saved for time and for eternity. Now, I don't know how you're feeling tonight. Maybe you feel like these people that were read up here in Psalm 107, sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction. And then you don't know what the answer is, and you don't know or seem to have any way out. Friend, tonight, again, just do what they did. It says, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Psalm 69, David cries, O God, in the multitude of thy loving kindness, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. You know, it's great again tonight to know and hear the word of the Lord Jesus. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Someone again has said, the best reason for our hope is God's faithfulness. And the faintest knock of faith opens wide the door to forgiveness. And again it has been said that Christ has grace without measure in himself, but he hasn't retained it for himself. And there is a sufficiency of grace available for you and for me tonight to be saved. Because again, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The poet says again, not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul, not what this burning flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Thy work alone, my Saviour, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, the Lamb of God, can give me peace within. And so on again has said that God's grace is infinite love, expressing itself through infinite goodness. And again we read it as the goodness of God that leads us all to repentance. You know, if we go into Mark Gospel chapter 5, we read of three different kinds of people who were bound in affliction and agony, who could do nothing to help themselves. You read of the man of Gadara. Remember him, it says, no man could tame him. Remember Jairus' daughter? It says, my daughter is at the point of death, and then he was told that his daughter was dead. And then we read of a woman who had been ill for 12 years and had spent everything she had, and she couldn't find a cure, and she didn't get any better. She just got worse. The three of them, all bound in affliction and iron. And then we find that they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them and restored them to their health again. The fruit of the man, it says, he was sitting clothed and in his right mind. Remember the girl? She immediately, and the Lord touched her, the girl immediately was recovered. The Lord raised her up. And remember that woman, she only touched the hem of his garment, and again she was immediately covered. She just touched the hem of his garment. You know, another hymn goes opposite way, and my dad used to love to sing it. He touched me, and oh, the joy that filled my soul. And this is what happened here with these people, the touch of the Saviour. The man completely cured, the girl raised up again from the dead, and the woman who was dying, again, she was completely covered by the touch of the Saviour. Clean every whit thou sayest it o'er, shall one suspicion lurk, then surely is a faithful word, and thine a finished work. They cried unto the Lord in their distress, and he delivered them. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We know again that the name of Christ expresses to us who believe. But sadly, his name is profane. To those who don't, I wonder now, what do you think tonight of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ? The third kind of people that we read about in our psalm are called fools. It says, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, they are afflicted. Now that's got a familiar ring about it now, hasn't it, even today. People who by their outrageous behaviour get themselves into all sorts of problems and difficulties. You know what was just telling us today about some of the people that he works with in Auchinleck and some of the problems and some of the difficulties in. And really, because of their transgression and their afflictions and their iniquities, they are afflicted. But again, some of them trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour and the Lord delivered them. Now again, in our Bible, sin is likened to a disease. That's what Isaiah chapter 1 says. Remember, we read of a people, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, and he goes on to say, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, full of wounds and bruises, and putrefying sores. What a state to be in now, isn't it? Now, I can't cope with that kind of physical problems at all. I mean, maybe Helen here could cope with that, but I certainly couldn't face up to people when working amongst people and living amongst people like that. I just couldn't handle that at all. You know, the Saviour can. And if you feel in your life now that the sin that you're involved in, and the sin and the bondage that holds you are just like that, remember this, God can deliver you through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because again, Isaiah goes on to say, come now, what does the Lord say? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as well. I think the most important word in that, what I've just said, is the word now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Again, in the earlier days, the children used to say that the clock of life is wound but once, and no one has the power to say just when that clock will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own love. Love, work with a will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 20, David says, there is but a step between me and death. And you know how often this has happened in life. Suddenly, something unexpected happens and people are gone. You know, I can remember in Wellesley, in our pit days with John, we both worked in the same section in the pit. There was this man who was just started his police training, and the height of the road would be 15 feet, maybe be 10 feet wide, so it wasn't very big. But they get onto the face line, you had to bend down. The face line was only about 4 feet high. And to get down to the face line, you had to bend down and down to the face. And just as he bent down, there was a stone come out the roof and killed him, just like that. David says, there's but a step between me and death. And sadly, this man, there's only a step between him and death. A second, really a second either way. And he would have been spared. But just as he bent down to go into the face line, the stone came out the roof. And he was gone. There is but a step between me and death. But you know, again, we sing in the gospel about another step. Only a step to Jesus. Then why not take it now? Come and thy sin, confess it to him, your Saviour. A step between you and death. But you know, there's only a step between you again in everlasting life. There's no long process to go through to get saved. The hymn writer got it right when he said, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon received. There's but a step between me and death. But you know, there's just a step again between you and God's eternal salvation. And you can take that step tonight again by acknowledging to God you're a sinner and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Someone again has said, it's one thing to know that there is a God, but it's quite another thing to know who God is a wonder to me. You maybe believe there is a God, all right, but sadly we're reading about a bus going south, and a Christian bus driver objected to driving the bus, because on the advert it was, there is no God, or something like that. Friend, do you know that there is a God? Deep down within your heart, you know that there is a God. But I wonder, do you really know who God is? Faith has been defined as believing wholeheartedly every word God has said, resting unreservedly upon every promise that God has made. Now I wonder tonight, have you done that? Well, I repeat that, faith has been defined as believing wholeheartedly every word that God has said, and resting unreservedly upon every promise God has made. And God has said this again tonight, that whosoever, the Lord Jesus said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, as we said, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And we know it is a dangerous presumption to say tomorrow, but God says today. And so these people again, they cry unto the Lord in their distresses, and the Lord delivered them. You know, in Job chapter 33, we read of another man in his bed. It says there in verse 19, he is chastened with pain, and his soul doth near unto the grave. Then the message comes across through loud and clear, deliver him from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom. And you know, the gospel message again comes across clear and plain tonight. Deliver him from going down to the pit. God says, for I have found a ransom. And again, we know what the apostle writes. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, himself, man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. I wonder then tonight now, do you know, and are you in the good of this great and eternal salvation? Matthew chapter 8, we read about a man, a centurion, and he came to the Lord Jesus and says, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. So here was a man who was powerless, and who was grievously tormented. You know, there's a young man that used to come to the children's meeting in Crowden. He came through the Friday Club for years. And sadly, he is powerless, and he's grievously tormented. He's in out of prison like nobody's business. He had been in Berlin in the air, and he got out, and 2 days later he was caught shoplifting. So he's just waiting to be sentenced again. And again, he's so involved with drugs. What a sad story to see him and his girlfriend. Some days they don't know where they are or what they're doing. Grievously tormented. Powerless. And grievously tormented. And sadly, they turned their back upon the message of the gospel here from those early days. But you know, again, as we think of those who are powerless and grievously tormented, again, the word of God comes clear and plain that the cross is to them who are perishing foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And again, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Again, as we said already, the faintest not of faith opens wide the door to forgiveness. Powerless and grievously tormented. But again, as we read the story, we find this man was healed by the power of Christ, that selfsame hour. So here was one who was powerless and grievously tormented because, again, of the touch of the Saviour, he was restored to his health and strength. You know, the gospel can still do the same for you and I today. It is God's power unto salvation and to everyone that believeth. In the same chapter, chapter 8, in verse 14, read about Peter's wife's mother, and it said she was, Peter's wife's mother-in-law, and it said she was laid and sick of a fever. You know, as we think of the fever, we think of the restlessness of a fever. I wonder, is that how you feel again today? And we know people again who are so restless in life because they can't find the answer to their need and to their problems. You know, in Jeremiah's day, there were people like that as well. Read Lamentations chapter 1, I think it is, and it says there, they found no rest. There was no pasture, and there was no rest, and there was no peace. You read that chapter, and you'll find that there, no rest, no pasture, and no peace. And you know there's people like that again today. But again, what does the Lord Jesus say? Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So those who may be sick of a fever in society today, those restless people again can find rest and peace through coming into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53 says this in verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we understand that this word borne means to lift and place upon oneself. And you know, again, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He has borne them and placed them upon himself here upon Golgotha. And again, as a result of that, again, you can have rest and peace. When overwhelmed with problems, when weak or tired or ill, when storms are fierce and raging, just hear his peace. You know, as we go further down that chapter, I like what it says in verse 16 as well. It just says that he healed all the sick. Every one of them, he healed all the sick, no matter the problem, whatever was wrong with them. Because they came in contact with the Lord Jesus, it just says there in verse 16, he healed all the sick. Again, as we say, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And again, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So with us again today, we're all different, but again we know that Christ is the answer to our need. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. The fourth type of people are people are seamen. Now I do not envy any seamen his job at all. John Cairns always maintained that if they hadn't gone into the pits, he'd have gone into the Navy. Well, better John than me. I never envied anybody, nor do I yet envy anybody that has to go out into the sea. I have no problem going underground. We used to go 2 miles out under the fort, and never gave it a thought, really. No fear, but a different story if you ask me to go out 2 miles into the North Sea. Well, that would be a different story. But again, we read of these men. It says there in one of the Psalms that they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deeps. But again, we read of the stormy wind and the lifting up of the waves. Now again, I'm sure we'll be at the lifeboat station in Amsterdam. Some time ago I was in Peterhead, and I was speaking to this man, and we heard this gun. And he said, well, that's the lifeboat going out. And so the two of us jumped in the car and down to the harbour, and we saw the lifeboat going out. Now in the shade, it looks quite a big boat. You know, when I saw it in the water, it was getting tossed about like a cork. And I'll tell you, I didn't envy these men that were going out in the lifeboat. It says, they mount up to the heavens and go down into the depths, and their soul was melted because of trouble. But again, Christ is the answer. Because again, the hymn writer said, when the storms of life are raging, storms are wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the shadow of his hand. Again, as we think of the stormy sea, sometimes we have a run down to leaving, and know that there's much in leaving, but again, we just enjoy our roots, our area, and sometimes we see the sea, and it's just like a mill pond, it's so calm. And other times we come down and the water is really raging. And you know, that's just life, isn't it? Sometimes things are peaceful and sometimes things are stormy. Every one of us has experienced that in our lifetime. Times of peace and times of storm. But you know, Hebrews 6 again tells us about a hope that we Christians have. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And again, that is in our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Safe in the Lord without a doubt by virtue of the blood, for nothing can destroy the life that's hid with Christ in God. Four different kinds of people. And each of them again have cried unto the Lord in their distresses and he delivered them. Now how does the Psalm finish? How does Psalm 107 finish? It says this, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even ye shall understand the loving kindness of God. And again, when the Proverbs say, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But remember this, if thou scornest, thou alone shown here, as a personal thing to be saved. Something between you and God. It's an acquaintance of your heart, an acquaintance of your seat, an acquaintance of your home. Something between you and God alone. But remember this again, friend, tonight. If you scorn it, then you again alone will bear God's judgment. But again, the Lord Jesus says tonight, come unto me, all you that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you. Which that's not just a promise, that is a fact. And you can experience that blessing in God's peace and God's salvation tonight by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. All you have to do again is what the hymn writer says, come with thy sin confessing, then thou shalt receive a blessing. Our Father, again, we thank thee for thy word and we thank thee for the message of the gospel. And we just will pray again tonight, our God, as we leave this place, that every one of us might go rejoicing in thy blessing and inside thy salvation and thy peace. We commend ourselves to thee here, and again we commend wherever thy word has gone forth tonight in the gospel. We know that men and women who are in distress, we just will pray that they might respond to the Saviour's invitation and by simple faith accept him and know thy blessing and thy salvation and thy peace. We thank thee again for the Lord Jesus and all the accomplished for thee and for us there upon Golgotha, and commend ourselves now for thy preserving care and blessing in his name.